and turn in the Gospel of Luke to chapter 1 as we continue sort of our detour around Luke's Gospel from where we were to some themes in Luke's Gospel that are a little more pertinent toward Thanksgiving and now to Advent. We're going to spend the next few weeks here in Luke 1 and then Luke 2 as we focus upon this season of the year. Luke chapter 1, and we're going to read this morning verses 26 through 38 on this first Sunday of Advent. Luke 1, verses 26 through 38. Let's stand once again together as we read God's Word. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement, and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Amen. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearing this morning. You may be seated. Mary's simple question to the angel Gabriel, "How can this be? How can this be?" resonates in our hearts and minds once again this Advent season. We are stopped short with Mary contemplating the wonder, the miracle of a virgin conceiving and bearing a child. And this child is not just another baby born in time and history. This child, Gabriel said, would be great. Now, every parent here thinks that their kids are great. You put bumper stickers on your car, don't you? "My kid is on the honor roll at wherever." You post stuff on Facebook and you pull out the pictures on your phone or your wallet. "Look at my kid and look at my grandkids and oh, they're so great." But this child will be great. It means far more than the greatness that we think of our own kids and grandkids. We go through all sorts of things for our great kids. But the child Mary will miraculously carry in her womb and give birth to, his greatness no one can fathom. "For God hath also highly exalted him," this child to be born of Mary, "God hath also highly exalted him and given him," what, "the name that is above every name, that at the name of this child, the child Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess in heaven and on earth and under the earth that this child, Jesus Christ, is Lord." This child is the Son of the Highest. This child is given the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. How can this be? with God, nothing will be impossible. Remember that this child, miraculously conceived in Mary, did not just come into being at the moment of conception. You and I came into being when the egg, the sperm, came together. We were conceived. That was the beginning for you and I in our mother's womb. Before that, we did not exist. But this child, the one that is going to now be conceived in Mary, a virgin, is from all eternity. This child is God, the Son, eternally existent before the foundations of the earth. In fact, the very one who created the foundations of the earth. That's this baby. The wonder and the miracle this Advent season is not just that the promised Messiah is born in the fullness of time. The miracle is that he so willingly humbled himself to be born. This child had never known anything but the glory of his holy throne with his Father, with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, eternally existent together. Though the eternal Son of God never had been limited by time and space, now he became a fertilized ovum in Mary. And he grew and developed in her womb and went through the trauma of birth and was then a little boy growing up in a sin-sick world. Jesus, this child, had never known pain, never known hunger, thirst, cold, heat, exhaustion, poverty. Now, all of this had begun for him. The Christ, the only begotten Son of God, and it all would lead to the greatest humiliation, the suffering and death of the cross for sinful men. And he came willingly. He came willingly out of eternity, out of eternal love for you and I. It's indescribable. Christ manifests the very glory of God. Colossians tells us that in him, in Jesus, this babe in Mary's womb, in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Later on, Jesus would say to Philip in John's gospel, "You've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen God in the flesh." And as we see and hear this child in the Gospels, we see and hear God. He talked like God. He acted like God. He thought like God. He performed miracles that only God could do. He taught truth as only God could teach, and responded with love and goodness and wisdom and omniscience that only God possesses. How can this be? Here we are given all that God wants us to know about the wonder and miracle of his Son becoming man, the Word made flesh dwelling among us, the incarnation and conception of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Luke 1 verse 26 gives us the time frame in relation to another miraculous conception, that of John, who became known as John the Baptist. For earlier in chapter 1 of Luke, we are given the account of how John was conceived in Elizabeth of Zacharias and Elizabeth, who were well advanced in years. I always kind of used to chuckle at the old King James that says she was well stricken. They were way beyond childbearing years. Another miracle, though. But in that case, it was a man and a woman coming together and a child conceived miraculously because of their age. And Zacharias had this same angel Gabriel appear to him when he was in the temple to tell him of this. And now Gabriel Now Gabriel comes and he appears to Mary. Angels are, of course, messengers of God. Gabriel has already made it clear who he is. He is one of God's ministering spirits who stands in the very presence of God. He's been sent to speak and to bring this good news. And as we continue into chapter 2 of Luke, we'll find a whole lot of more angels, won't we, as the weeks go on this Advent season, announcing the most marvelous news of all history. Oh, that we might all be filled with ever-increasing joy, praise, and wonder over this news of Christ. But the news of the Messiah's birth is first given to his mom, to his mother, Mary, the one who will bear this child. She's the first to know that the long-awaited deliverer, the Christ, the anointed one, promised of old in the Old Testament of the Scriptures, she is the first one to know it's happening. Hundreds of years have passed, thousands of years have passed, but Jesus the Christ is coming, and Mary finds out first, and she will bear him. The name Mary is the same as the Old Testament name Miriam, the sister of Moses and Aaron. Her name signifies exalted, and indeed she is exalted, as Gabriel says, favored one. He calls her the favored one, a woman richly blessed, as he addresses her in verse 28. Mary is from the small town of Nazareth, population maybe 400 or 500. 75,000 people live there today. Over 2,000 years ago, it was just a little place smaller than Pleasanton in Galilee. Poor little town. Poor family. There's nothing that speaks of greatness when it comes to Mary or the town that she's born, that she is from, that Jesus is born in. God could have chosen to have the daughter of a prominent scribe from the great city of Jerusalem to be the mother of our Savior. And yet in his all-wise providence, he did not. The first advent, the first coming of Jesus, the Messiah, is an advent of humiliation. And his humiliation began at conception and birth. We can be so easily enamored with the rich and the famous. We can make an idol of money. Our Lord was born of a humble, poor maiden from Nazareth. Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes, he, the eternal Son of God, became poor. The Creator of all took the most humble form of all. It would have been humbling to come to earth and to be a great king. That would have been humbling. If he'd have been born in a palace with all the world's finest, yet that still would have been humbling for Jesus the Christ. But he came as a poor man, despised, rejected, to suffer and die the death of a criminal. Oh, what love. Oh, what mercy beyond our comprehending. His love must constrain us to live not to ourselves, but to live to him and for him, to mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, even as he did. Well, Mary is given a high privilege. Note Gabriel's address to her. Highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Notice that she is the recipient of God's grace. And that's very important. And I want you to listen carefully, because there's a lot of confusion that's out there that's not correct about Mary. But you read the scriptures, you read this portion of scripture, you see clearly she receives God's grace. It's a very similar combination of words that we have in Ephesians 1, verse 6, where we read of our God and our Father's glorious grace, which he has freely given us. It's the same Greek word as highly favored. We have been blessed in the heavenly places with God's grace that he's freely given us in electing us to salvation. And this is the same term that's used here of Mary being the highly favored one. It's grace given apart from any merit of ours. Grace was given to Mary apart from any merit of her own. She had none. Mary found favor with God and is a recipient of his grace. We read that of Noah of old in Genesis chapter 6, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Mary found grace. She's highly favored of God. And thus she says later in this chapter, verse 47, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. No woman has ever been so highly favored as Mary, the mother of our Lord. The only one out of all the women in history who could have been the means by which God would be manifest in the flesh, Mary was the one chosen by God to do that. She had that privilege. And Gabriel says, Mary, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. There's no need to despair, no need to worry. If God is with us, he will provide, he will protect. Perhaps this message from Gabriel would have put Mary in mind of the prophecy from Isaiah 7:14, where we are told by Isaiah that a virgin will conceive and bear a son. And his name will be called Emmanuel, God with us. That's what's happening. She's the virgin. She knows she's never known a man. She's never had relationship with a man. But she's going to be pregnant as a virgin, and the child in her is Emmanuel, God in the flesh with us. Just as it was through one woman, Eve, at the beginning that sin and death entered the world, now by the child bearing of Mary, the one favored by God, life and immortality were brought to light in the birth of Jesus Christ. Yes, Mary is highly favored and even can be translated at times full of grace. But let's be clear, this grace is received. It's received. Mary is the recipient of God's grace. She's the object of much grace. She is not in any way to be seen as the source of grace to others. She's not to be seen in any way as the giver of grace. Roman Catholic teaching gives an honor to Mary that Scripture does not give. It often holds her up as an object of worship, one that is prayed to as a mediator between God and man, and that is not biblical. She does not have equal power with Christ. There's no scriptural basis for that teaching. Gabriel salutes Mary. He is not praying to her, as the Catholic teaching promotes in the Ave Maria, where they say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and in the hour of our death. That's not biblical. And that's not according to the Scriptures. It is simply absurd to think that we are to seek from Mary the undeserved love of God that she has received from God, just as we do. We are not to pray to Mary or to salute her. Gabriel never intended that believers should do that. She is not here for us to salute, but is with the Lord in his presence today. As we think of the miracle of the virgin birth, be mindful there is a relationship to our Savior that's far nearer than flesh and blood. A relationship for all who repent and believe the gospel of this child who was born. You remember Jesus said, "Whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and sister and mother." Once a woman said to Jesus, "Blessed is the womb that bare thee." Jesus replied, "Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." How does Gabriel describe Christ? In verses 32 and 33, notice then the description Gabriel gives of Christ. He will be great. This child will be great. Think of the greatness of our Lord. Great is the Lord and worthy to be praised. He brought in a great salvation. He has shown himself a prophet greater than Moses. He is a great high priest. One day all will recognize him as King of Kings. The psalmist says, "For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." He's called the Son of the Most High. And he was this before he came into the world. Equal to the Father in all things, from all eternity, the very Son of God. He was to be recognized and worshipped as nothing less than very God. That's why we sing as the hymn that Annette played this morning, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." The second verse says, "Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as men with men to dwell, Jesus our The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. All the empires of this world will go down, and they will pass away. Kings and kingdoms, they'll all pass away, just like Nineveh, Babylon, Egypt, Tyre, the Roman Empire. They all come to nothing. The kingdom of Christ alone will prove to be an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion shall not pass away," Daniel tells us. And Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15 reminds us that the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. Meditate on this glorious promise that his kingdom will never end. And to think that this child came for you and gave his life for you to bring you out of the kingdom of Satan and into his glorious kingdom, a kingdom that will always exist forever. Think of the great privilege that is yours this morning if you're in Christ. And take comfort this Advent season that Christ our King is coming again to reign and to rule forever and ever. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. No matter what happens, we have no need to feel ashamed or downtrodden in this world. We too may be poor. We too may be despised. We are conquerors through Christ. We know that yet a little time, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Just as the Old Testament saints waited his first coming, so we await his second coming. And in just in a very little while, he's going to be back. He's going to be back, brothers and sisters. Your salvation is nearer now than when you first believed. And no matter what's happening now, no matter what trial, what affliction, what difficulty you're going through, he's coming again for his own. And it is for us to patiently wait and watch and pray for that day. And so today, we take up our cross and we follow him. And we rejoice in the privilege and blessing of fellowship with Jesus in his sufferings. Soon our Savior, born of Mary at his first advent, will come again and take his children home to be with him. And all those who have faithfully served him shall exchange a cross for a crown. Yet with Mary, we may still wonder, how can this be? How can this be? We have just the simple explanation that God gives us in His Word, that this young virgin, who never knew a man, was going to have a child, a son, who would be great. The Holy Spirit would come upon him, upon her. The power of the Most High would overshadow her. And that's all we have. The formation of every baby in the womb is a miracle. We don't know the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones are formed in the womb of the pregnant woman. Made in secret, Psalm 139 tells us. And yet even more so, the miracle, the formation of this child in Mary's womb, a mystery without controversy. Great was that mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. As Jeremiah said, the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. And brothers and sisters, it is enough for us to know that the Word was made flesh when the very Son of God came into the world. A real body was prepared for Him. He took part of our flesh and blood, was made of a woman, a body prepared for Him. And in the fullness of time, God brought Him forth. In wisdom, God has not explained it all in detail to us, but we must trust Him. And we must stand in wonder, knowing that Jesus was not conceived by ordinary means by a man. For this child is that Holy One. He shall be called the Son of God. Now, formed by the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb and conception, His human nature was thus produced, and in union with His divine nature, He is fully God, fully man. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary. How can this be? How can this be? For nothing will be impossible with God. And regardless of where you are in life's journey this Advent season, regardless of whether your hope is strong in the Lord and it is coming again for you, or whether you're going through some deep trials and tribulations and problems, things are coming upon you, remember, nothing will be impossible with God. And if you know Christ, you know this Christ, this child who was born, you know His forgiveness in your life, you know that if God be for you, who can be against you? So you rest in Christ. You hope in Christ. You keep your eyes on Christ. Thankful for His faithfulness today. Let's go to Him in